This episode of Between the Rows was brought to you in part by Bayer. Bayer continues to make significant investments into the development of new breeding technologies and state-of-the-art cropping solutions to ensure the profitability and sustainability of your farm. This season, grow with confidence. Grow with Bayer. Welcome to Between the Rows, where you get to hear the stories behind the stories in Canada's leading farm publications. Today, our focus is trade. The Western Producers' Ed White brings us an exclusive interview with Sonny Perdue, the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture.
What I would say to your agricultural interests are relax, breathe deeply, and we're all going to be fine. I think it's absolutely in our best interest. All of us would be foolish not to renegotiate NAFTA. I think, again, the president's wise in trying to modernize a 25-year-old contract, commercial contract. Many things weren't even around then.
And GFM's Bruce Burnett analyzes NAFTA and the markets.
To hear Trump tell the story about the negotiation and, you know, grabbing the latest guy off the turnip truck to do the negotiation for the U.S., that's never been the case, and they are very, very tough negotiators.
All on Between the Rows with today's host, Robert Arneson.
Hi, I'm Robert Arneson of the Western Producer. Welcome to Between the Rows. On this week's program, we're taking a look at NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, and how potential changes might affect you, the Canadian farmer, and anyone else in the ag sector. Our exclusive one-on-one interview with Sonny Perdue, the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, is coming up in a few minutes. Ed White of the Western Producer spoke to Secretary Perdue earlier in June. Here's a brief sample of that interview.
I think any trade relationships need to be compliant. I think that's one of the things that we think the Class 7 milk is sort of a circumvention of the issue that we dealt with our ultra-high filtered milk that was not part of NAFTA, that sort of made a new scheme of pricing that was designed to cut our milk out of the market. And we obviously are going to be very concerned about that until that's resolved.
That was Sonny Perdue, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, talking about NAFTA, the subject of today's episode of Between the Rows. Donald Trump has said many times that NAFTA is a horrible trade deal for Americans. The U.S. wants to alter the deal and negotiations could begin later this summer. Joining me now in our studio is Bruce Burnett, Glacier Farm Media Director of Weather and Markets Information. Bruce is here to provide a primer on NAFTA from a Canadian perspective. Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
So I guess first off, can you provide some history and background on NAFTA for us?
Well, certainly. In fact, the origins of these free trade agreements go back to the Canada-U.S. Free Trade Agreement, which is called CUSTA, and it was signed in 1988, although we really didn't ratify that till later. In fact, in Canada, we had an election based on it. There was a lot of diverse opinion, let's say, on whether this was going to be good or bad for Canada. So after that agreement was done, the U.S. moved to make an agreement on free trade with Mexico. And in Canada, I don't think there was a lot of real impetus to make an agreement with Mexico ourselves, but we felt that in order to protect our interests, we would go into the negotiations with the U.S. and Mexico, and NAFTA was signed in 1994. So these agreements are quite old. They go back a considerable amount of time, and I think for the most part they have been successful, but it is certainly something that we are going to have to revisit here because of the intentions of the U.S. to renegotiate the treaty.
So there was a meeting recently in Georgia of the three agricultural ministers from Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. I guess you could call them possibly the three amigos. What came out of that meeting which might hint at what we should expect when it comes to NAFTA negotiations and agriculture?
Well, there certainly was no hint in that meeting of any of the negotiating positions of any of the countries, because certainly it looked like they all agreed that the agriculture sector benefited from this agreement and that everybody was happy with it. Of course, I think that that's not likely the case when it gets down to the agricultural subsection in the negotiations and the people who are actually looking at each and individual trade sector will start looking at the policies of each country in with a microscope.
So there's a lot of speculation right now as to what changes to NAFTA could mean for Canadian farmers. Do you think there are real risks here?
Well, certainly, I think there are some risks as we go into these negotiations. I guess to step back in terms of the agreements themselves, what were they? There were a lot about reducing the tariffs on goods, not an awful lot about services, those types of things. And because we're an exporting nation for agricultural products, this agreement was good for the Canadian agriculture sector, I think, on a whole. But of course, there were some areas that are still sticking points and remain that way to this day. And of course, we just saw the dust up on the dairy side here. That's a common U.S. complaint. So there are an awful lot of things that Canada really is vulnerable on in the ag sector. And those are the ones that we've been sort of fighting about since NAFTA started. On the other hand, there are some other things out there that we can use in terms of leverage. But basically, we are vulnerable on some of these commodities that we export to the U.S.
So, obviously, as you know, NAFTA is not just Canada and the U.S., it's also Mexico. How would you describe Mexico's situation going to these talks compared to Canada?
Well, in terms of Mexico, it's quite interesting. They are actually a very large customer, both of Canada, but certainly of the U.S., and that gives them some negotiation power. When we go into these negotiations, it's done sector by sector. Of course, at the end, it's all put together, and there are some big trade-offs made. But in the sector itself, Mexico is a significant importer. They're the largest importer of U.S. corn. They're the largest importer of U.S. Wheat. So when the U.S. tries to, let's say, build a wall or something like that, Mexico can say, well, do you really want to build a wall? Because maybe we'll go and get our corn elsewhere. And we did see that earlier this year. As soon as the U.S. Relationship with Mexico got to a boiling point, they sent their ag minister down to Brazil to talk about corn. So they do have some negotiating power leverage in these talks. Canada, on the other hand, we've got a weaker hand to play. And certainly, let's take wheat, for example. The U.S. still is our third largest wheat export customer. So they import a significant amount of Canadian wheat. And that's obviously going to be an area where we're going to be vulnerable, and the U.S. Wheat interests are lobbying right now for some changing in our grading system in order to accommodate U.S. movement northward. So there will be things like that that we will be vulnerable on just because of the nature of the trade between the three countries.
So, yeah, you used that word vulnerable a couple times. So how worried are you personally about these renegotiations?
Well, in the interviews you're going to hear later here, it sounds like we're all on the same page in North America about these things. But to hear Trump tell the story about the negotiation and, you know, grabbing the latest guy off the turnip truck to do the negotiation for the U.S., that's never been the case. And they are very, very tough negotiators. So I would expect that the sectors that we have trade surpluses with the U.S. or some very different big differences in terms of our marketing systems are going to be vulnerable in these negotiations, and it's going to be a very tough time for us to get through this negotiation completely unscathed. These will be probably far more rigorous negotiations than everybody anticipates at this present moment.
All right, Bruce. Well, thanks for your insight on NAFTA. Before we get to our interview with Sonny Perdue, the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, let's talk about weather and markets for a minute. So first off, this past week, the spring wheat futures in Minneapolis have continued to climb. So can you talk about what's driving the rally and how much longer can this last?
Well, we certainly talked about this for quite a while now in terms of what's happening with the spring wheat. And the main source for the bullish nature of the market is the fact that U.S. and a little portion of the prairies has a drought going on right now. And even in the crop ratings released yesterday, the U.S. crop conditions dropped slightly, despite the fact that we'd had some very good rains in parts of their growing area the week previous. So certainly we're looking at a situation where damage has been done to the crop in the U.S. and the crop in Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, the hard red winter wheat crop is very low protein this year again. So to find protein wheat in the world, you have to have spring wheat now. And in the U.S., this lack of supply is going to create a very tight situation in their market, and that's supporting these values. How long does it last? That's probably a question that's very difficult to give a precise answer to, but certainly until the market gets comfortable with how much grain they're going to produce and that they can make this balance sheet work out so that there's sufficient ending stocks at the end of the year. Otherwise, I would say the rally should remain intact.
Okay. So just moving up to Canada for a second. So it's been quite cool in parts of the prairies, you know, in late June. So what's the condition of the Canadian crop compared to previous years?
Well, certainly it's quite variable, I think, as you go across the prairies here. As I said, in terms of the spring wheat market, there is a dry area in south central, southwestern Saskatchewan developing right now. It's right along the border areas in the U.S. that are experiencing the drought. So that's a region where crop conditions are declining. But generally speaking, because of the mix of too much rain and too little rain this spring, we see quite variable crop and also some relatively cool conditions throughout the first part of the growing season has left the fields in quite a variable state in terms of growth stages and that type of thing. So my expectations for the crop is that we aren't probably looking at bumper yields this year. Certainly, probably an average yield is still within reach right now in a lot of areas, but it looks like it's not going to be the type of production levels that we've been expected to have, let's say, over the past 2 or 3 years.
All right, Bruce, thanks for your time and coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Bruce Burnett is Glacier Farm Media's Director of Markets and Weather Information. This is Between the Rows, a special look at NAFTA edition. I'm your host this week, Robert Arneson. Now, as promised, here is our exclusive interview with U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue. The Western producers Ed White and Secretary Perdue discussed NAFTA this month in Toronto.
It is good.
Yeah, so and congratulations on your appointment. I was
Thank
there
you.
For your confirmation vote.
Were
so
you really?
I saw you sitting down to our left. We were sitting in the Senate press gallery. So, yeah.
Well, we were happy to get to work. It's been a little frustrating sitting on my hands for 3 months. So, but I'm happy. We've been we haven't let any grass grow under our feet since we began.
Yeah. So, well, can I ask you just
anything you
open ended from the start?
Anything you want.
Obviously, trade's important to you.
Certainly.
For a long time, and integration of the North American farming and food industry is. So, I'm just wondering if you could give us a basic take on.
Sure.
How you see the situation now and where you think we should go?
Actually, I think the relationship between our two nations are even more than integrated. I think it's interdependent. And I think the results that we both have seen from NAFTA, particularly on the agricultural side, has benefited both sides of the border. I was teasing Minister McCauley a little bit and telling him while the trade appeared to be balanced between nations per capita, we thought they had a huge advantage over the trade with 21 billion coming south and 20 billion coming back north. But nonetheless, I think producers on both sides of the border have benefited, and I think consumers on both sides of the border benefited. That's the essence of trade, when you can benefit both the economic interests, the producers of the product, and the consumers of the product. I think there's a great base of trust between the two countries on sanitary, phytosanitary standards, over the confidence and trust we have on inspections, and that leads to a confidence of consumers, and that's all healthy. I think that's going to continue, and we look forward to negotiating. I view it, as I said, as a really as a family matter, and I Canada and the United States have survived many years of a long border. I love the way that Jean Charest mentioned this morning, we're in a wonderful neighborhood, and we may be on a little different blocks, but we're on a wonderful neighborhood, and I think we ought to take advantage of that through trade and through trust, and that's what I hope to continue.
Now, you've spoken very positively about this, but I know a lot of Canadian farmers and ag businesses are very uncertain and a little shaken up by some of the terms they've heard coming out of the White House, like America First or things like that. And I think some are a little anxious about what to do and how much they can count on the U.S. market and U.S. ag industry to interact with. So I'm just wondering what you would say to Canadian farmers about how they should view this approach to the NAFTA renegotiation. Sure. And I guess what you are saying within the administration about the agricultural interests involved in NAFTA.
What I would say to your agricultural interests are relax, breathe deeply, and we're all going to be fine. Again, I think the anxiety that comes mostly, we acknowledge there's been a bifurcated impact from NAFTA over particularly U.S. jobs. Our president is very concerned about trade deficits and U.S. jobs, and we know that not many jobs have left the United States and gone to Canada, but jobs have left the United States and gone south. And so when he talks about free and fair trade, we want to make sure that those interests are. But from an agricultural perspective, he also understands it's been good for all three countries in that effort. So I think, again, obviously when people heard on our side of the border about, quote, withdrawing from NAFTA, there's a certain anxiety there. But I think, again, the president is interested in a free trade with friends and family, but also a fair trade. And I think there are just a very few issues that we'll have on the table in regarding agricultural issues with Canada that I believe we can resolve in good faith, and I think we'll be fine. You're aware, and I think maybe one of your questions may have to do with really dairy issues. And it's not the U.S.'s intention to get involved in the micromanagement of supply chains within a country or quotas and those kind of things. But simply, I think it's incumbent when we don't do that, that we don't use supply management to create an overproduction that then dumps milk solids on the world market and underprices, and not just the under the world market prices. And so those are things that we can address. We've got a little issue with our wheat grades coming out of the border states of Dakotas and Montana and those areas, which grow a high-quality milling wheat, but because of the clause grown in Canada, they're deemed to be feed wheat, which is a significant deduction in the wheat market, and we think it's reasonable that those people are graded on their quality, just like any wheat farmer would be. That seems fair to us. And we've got some localized wine issues here in a province or two, and we obviously have filed a grievance in the World Trade Organization there. We don't think that hiding or putting U.S. products behind a cage double locked is the same availability to Canadian customers as U.S. wine. So we simply ask for a fair and level playing field about that. The good news is I think both of our farmers on both sides are progressive, productive, and I think they're going to thrive and survive as they have with good trade protocols both ways.
And I know something else that worries our readers, our farmers, and it had a big impact a few years ago. And there's been no words from the administration about this or from you. It doesn't sound like the kind of thing that you would be one of your ideas, perhaps. I don't know. But mandatory country of origin labeling. Sure. And that was mentioned this morning in one of the sessions. And I'm just wondering what your view is of you know, the history that the United States had with that policy, and what your response would be, or what you would say if someone in Congress or someone else in the administration suggested that as an idea to go back to?
Well, I think what I would advise them is to persuade the World Trade Organization to change their mind. In my opinion, the COOL is a settled issue. You may know there's still some groups in the United States, producer groups as well as consumer groups, that would love to have that. It's the consumerism of knowing where everything came from and what field or what farm or what ranch it came from. But that's just that's consumerism. But I think from a standpoint of COOL legislation, that came in the 2002 Farm Bill. It was adjudicated in the World Trade Organization not to be compliant, and I think any trade relationships need to be compliant. I think that's one of the things that we think the Class 7 milk is sort of a circumvention of the issue that we dealt with our ultra-high filtered milk. It was not part of NAFTA that sort of made a new scheme of pricing that was designed to cut our milk out of the market. And we obviously are going to be very concerned about that until that's resolved.
And right now, you seem like a very strong trade advocate for many, many years.
Yes.
But on both left and right throughout the world and in the United States and elsewhere, there's a very strong anti-trade sentiment. And I'm just wondering how you work on, you know, building public support for expanding trade deals or having new trade deals when there's so much hostility or skepticism about trade.
I'm not sure I concur with your premise regarding a hostility toward trade deals. I think there are some concerns and anxieties and possibly hostility over job loss. And that's the issue, certainly, that with the U.S. dealing with Mexico in manufacturing issue, not the concern in agriculture, because on the whole, NAFTA trade with Mexico and agricultural products has been beneficial to both as well. Not in all sectors. Our fruit and vegetable and our berries may have suffered because of the counter-cyclical growing season that we see from Mexico, and they overlap sometimes. But in the big picture of things, it's been healthy. I think the trade issue, I don't really get a sense. I don't think this president is a protectionist. I think he understands the power of American productivity, and he's willing to use that economic power of productive, least cost production to use as weapons of peace around the world in trading. He's very, very serious about trade deficits. And as you know, the United States has some very serious trade deficits with nations around the world. And he's very serious about alleviating those trade deficits because he does believe, and I agree with him, that those are job killers. And so we would love to have reciprocity of trade balance around the world. U.S. is a huge consuming, powerful economy, but the way we view it, for a lot of economies in the world, there are two ways to cure the trade deficits. You can either buy more or sell less. And we think the way to do that is for those countries to buy more, and that means a great product that we do at a very affordable price. That's food and fiber.
And Canadian farmers often feel, and Canadians often feel, like bystanders because we're a small population, small country, and what happens in the United States has, you know, a huge effect on us. Mm-hmm. Is there anything Canadian farmers or agribusinesses and food companies could do to sort of help the argument for a free-flowing, integrated North American farm and food economy?
I think there is. I think oftentimes when the U.S. comes to trade negotiations or utterances internationally, it may be viewed as heavy-handedness. You have almost a smaller brother, sibling, sister relationship here in Canada because of the size of the economies and the size of the population, where if Canada, I believe, can be an arbiter of truth and an arbiter of righteousness in some of these international dealings, where if Canada speaks up, then we can ride the coattails of Canada as sort of the referee for the right thing to do in international trade. I think that helps bilaterally as we're able to use market power internationally to get better deals. We would like to see our Canadian brothers and sisters brought along. So I think it's all in our best interest. If you really believe in trade, doing swapping with one another, what you do better than they and they do better than you, the essence of trade, it does have to be balanced in the end. Otherwise, it's just a huge transfer of wealth, as we were once seeing in the petroleum and the oil industry. No nation can survive that very long and maintain its socioeconomic status. So I think, again, it's right for Canadian producers to want to be balanced in that area. And I think oftentimes they can be a great trusted referee on world markets where maybe we would appear heavy-handed if we mentioned that. So I think that's one way we can cooperate. On the other hand, I don't want to keep going back to the dairy issue, but it's certainly Canada's prerogative if they want to have a supply management scheme regarding dairy prices. We know that if you go to New York and buy a half gallon of milk, it's about half of what it is in Canada. As long as their consumers are okay here, then that's okay with us. But you can't use those kind of supply management schemes to overproduce where it creates a glut on the world markets, and we have to be very, very cognizant of that.
Okay. If NAFTA gets renegotiated and that gets done, yeah, and we get past it, where next for trade, yeah, expansion?
Well, again, on your premise, I don't think it's after, when NAFTA, yeah, gets renegotiated. I think it's absolutely in our best interest. All of us would be foolish not to renegotiate NAFTA. I think, again, the president's wise in trying to modernize a 25-year-old commercial contract. Many things weren't even around then as far as digital business and those kind of things. But I think it also gives us an opportunity to kind of polish up the edges and smooth up some of the imbalances that have developed there. But that, again, I think is a good foundation for continued economic enterprise between the two nations. That will resolve a lot of the economic interests. You know, we also share educational, cultural, and national defense relationships there. So we truly are a good neighborhood. I think it's in both of our best interests as we live in the neighborhood to be good neighbors one to another.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you very much.
Ed White of the Western Producer spoke to U.S. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue earlier in June. That concludes our special edition of Between the Rows, looking at NAFTA in detail. If you enjoyed today's program, please tell a friend or forward them a link. I'm Robert Arneson. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Between the Rows. Our goal at Bayer is to continue to progress our lineup of high-performing seed and crop protection solutions so that we can meet specific grower needs like yours. Because when it comes to your farm, Bayer is with you from beginning to end. Between the Rows is a production of Glacier Farm Media, Canada's leading farm publisher. We'd love to hear what you think of the show and invite you to send your comments to btr@farmmedia.com or visit us at membersgetmore.ca. And sign up today.